Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
The title of the message is called A Love Revelation. You know, many people talk about a love revolution and all those kinds of things, but it was a love revelation. So let's pray, and then I'll tell you what God has spoken to my heart. Father, we thank you for the word, and we pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would help me to have the words to articulate what it is that you're communicating to my spirit, so that those of us that are hearing can hear what it is that your spirit is saying to us as a group. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, a heart to understand, and a will to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. When I was a kid, when we had dinner, before every dinner, my father always said what they called, some people call it grace, we call it blessing. And his blessing was, and I assume he learned this from his father, and I took some of it, so my sons would probably recognize this. He would always say, Father, we bless the hand, we say, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Bless the hands that prepared it and the hands that went before it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then the kids, there was five of us, we would all have to say a verse from the Bible. Now, we weren't Bible students. We didn't actually, I didn't even know if we had a Bible in the house. I know we did, but I never read it. So we found the easiest verse to remember, and everybody knows that the easiest verse is Jesus wept, right? So all of us would either say God is love or Jesus wept. So that was our verses before we ate, every time we sat down to eat. And the one that I want to concentrate on is God is love. And as I was thinking about what to minister this week, I had a dream. I think it was a couple days ago, maybe it was Thursday. And in this dream, I was speaking at a meeting. I don't know, it wasn't here in this church, but it was at a meeting. And I was speaking about the love of God. And as I was speaking, I was walking around and I was hearing, I can't really remember. It seemed like it was like a women's convention, but I don't know because I just don't recognize people's faces. I was just in a group and it looked like women. And I was talking about the love of God. And as I got to John 3:16, I started to read that passage and I started to cry in the dream. And as I was crying, I heard people say, well, it's not that serious. I heard this going on. And again, I don't know who was saying this. But so when I woke up from the dream, the Spirit began to speak to me about the love of God and the magnitude of God's love that sometimes we just don't grasp. And so that's what I'm going to endeavor to open up today. And I'm not bringing anything that isn't in the scriptures, so I'm not going to say anything that's weird or far out. But I just want us to grab a hold of the love of God as I believe he was speaking to me about it. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to go through 7 through 21. We're going to land on 8, and then we'll keep going as we go through this. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and through the end of the chapter. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, For God is love. Everybody say that. For God is love. Now, let me just stop here for a minute. There's a few things in the Bible that it talks about that describe God. They say God is a spirit, right? Which tells us that God is beyond our natural body. He has a spiritual body. Amen? And then it says God is truth. Amen? Then it says God is light. Now, sometimes we think, you mean God is the brightness? No, his essence is light. In other words, light represents enlightenment. Amen? And so God is, if you think of light, I always think of light as revelation. Everybody say light is revelation. And so, and then we get to this verse and it says that God is love. So if you look at all four of these descriptions of God's nature, he's light, truth, a spirit, and he's love. What that means is that everything about love emanates from God. There is no description of love that can be separate from who he is. And we as people have tried to redefine love, make it sound like it's something, but without God being in it, it's not love. Amen? Now let me skip, and I'm trying not to jump around, but I want to go to chapter 2 of the same book. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2 verses 15. Yes, 1 John chapter 2. So we're still in the same book, we're just doing a different chapter. And it says this. It says, do not love the world. Now notice he's using the same word here to describe, but don't love the world. And it says, or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, get this, the love of the Father is not in him. So God is love, but if you love the world, that's not the love he's talking about. Did you get that? He says, the love of the world is not in you, or excuse me, the love of God is not in you if you love the things of the world. Amen? Are you guys with me here? So it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So here he contrasts between God's love and the love of the world. And then he says that if you love the world, that's not the love that we're talking about. Amen? Mm-hmm. Scripture is full of examples of how people said that they were in love, but it was actually just lust. There's one story, and I don't have time to go into it with detail, but it was a story of Amnon who loved his half-sister, he said. And he wanted to get with her. That's the kind of love he had. And he couldn't figure out a way to get with her. And so his cousin told him how to get with her. And so he tricked her, got her into his room, he rapes her, and all of a sudden the love that he had was gone. And not only was it gone, He said, look, kick this woman out of my room. I don't want to see her, and I don't want her in my room anymore. That's the kind of love that he's talking about in the second chapter of John. He lusted after her, but he didn't love her. He just wanted her. And we've all been there, right? Amen? So until you allow the love of God to flood your being, you don't really have a correct concept of what love really is. We only know love, especially when we're not saved, as it relates to the pleasing of us. And nothing that has nothing to do with God. Amen? So let's go back to chapter 4 and look at some more verses after. Let's go to verse 9. And it says, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atonement for our sins. So let's look at this. So God's love is this way. There's no reason for God to really love us. And I'm going to read an Old Testament connection with this passage, because he says the same thing to the children of Israel. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. When was the last time you guys read Deuteronomy? But how many know that when Paul says all scripture is inspired by God, you know, he's not talking about his book. He's talking about Deuteronomy and the books after that. Amen. So these are inspired scriptures. And it says here, Deuteronomy 7 and 8, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he says over and over about the children of Israel that you're a stiff-necked people. So he doesn't love you because you're good. He loves you because you need him. Everybody say, God loves me because I need him. He doesn't love me because I look better than you do. He doesn't love me because I'm a lighter shade of skin than you are, or a darker shade of skin than you are. He loves me because I need him. And he knows I need him. So his love compels him to do something about it. Amen? And this is what he's saying to us in, not only in Deuteronomy, but also in 1 John. Now, he also says the same thing in Romans. He says it like this. And I won't go there, but I'll just kind of paraphrase it. He said, God commended his love to us that while we were still sinners, he sent his son for us. We were not in any way thinking about him. That's what a sinner is. He's not thinking about God. Talk to your friends that don't know God. Says, hey, when's the last time you thought about God? What? Man, I ain't got time for that. I've got other stuff to do. That's how much God loves us, even when we have no concept of, no idea, don't want to think about him, don't want nothing to do with him. He's still thinking about us. He's still trying to figure out, how can I get Harold to turn away from what he's doing and come to me? That's how much he loves us. Amen? So let's keep going in chapter 4. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. It's probably the only place we're going to be able to go today, but so going back to 4, it says this. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And let's jump down to verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Everybody say, there is no fear in love. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have trouble with fear? If you have trouble in fear, you have to allow the love of God to fill you, because the Bible says there is no fear in love. Come on, somebody say, there is no fear in love. Not our love. Let me say that again. Not our love, but the love of God. God is not afraid of anything. Of course, he doesn't have to be. He got all power. But we too do not have to fear anything, as God's love fills our lives. Are you with me here? And it's not, and it's the point of this is not that love. See, we always get our love mixed up with God's love. And we don't understand that in order to love like God, we have to receive an impartation of his love. You guys know what impartation means? Anybody not know what that means? Huh? No, you don't? Okay. That means I've got to give it to you. I don't have it. I've got to get it from you. So if you're gonna live a love free from fear, take it. Touch my hand. Just touch my hand. You've got to receive the love that'll drive out fear. It's not in us to be able to resist fear, to overcome fear. We are by nature, because of sin, we are by nature afraid of everything. Why do you think Adam and Eve were hiding? As soon as they did what they weren't supposed to do, they had come into and been overcome by fear. And the Bible says here, the perfect love casts out all fear. But he who fears, notice this, has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So this does away with all the prejudice in the church. Amen. The church can't be prejudiced if they believe that scripture. I cannot hate black people. I cannot hate white people. I cannot hate a Mexican, Asian, you name it. I can't hate them if I say I love God. Because he says, you can't love me and hate the image that I put in all my people. Because we're all created in whose image? God's image. So this does away with prejudice. So if we're struggling with issues of prejudice, guess what we need to do? We need to ask God, God, get this out of me, because this is not the love that represents you. Just like fear, Father, get the fear out of me, because fear is not supposed to abide where love lives. Amen? When they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus wasn't hiding. Amen? When they confronted Jesus, Jesus asked them, what do you want? Came straight out into their face. What do you want? He says, we're looking for Jesus. I'm not sure. I couldn't understand why they didn't know who Jesus was after all he'd been in their city for about a week, or at least 2 weeks. And he says, I'm he. So Jesus was not afraid of anybody. And when they were telling him, don't you know that we have the power to allow you to live and allow you to die? He said, look, let me tell you something. You don't have any power over me. Except that what the Father has given you. He says, I can call right now a legion of angels and I can get out of this mess. But this is not what God has called me to do. So I have to submit to this. But you don't have power over me. Everybody say, you don't have power over me. When God lives in you, there's no weapon formed against you that will work. Jesus, they tried to throw him off the cliff and he just walked through them. They couldn't hold him. They tried to kill him so many times, but they couldn't do it because it wasn't his time. He was not supposed to be die off a cliff. He wasn't supposed to be drowned on a boat. He was supposed to be hung on a cross. But love compelled him because the love of God fully manifested itself in Jesus. Amen? So let me just state a couple of points here. So the first thing we see is that the nature of God's love was initially revealed early in the relationship with his people, but the fullness of that revelation was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead revealed to us and in the perfect state in which God is looking at us. And also, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, we see what love is supposed to look like. Amen? Love is what? What's the first thing about love in there? Love is patient, kind, doesn't exalt itself. I'm just paraphrasing because we're going to go through some of this later. But that is the full manifestation of the love of God. But notice this, and let me say this too, that God further revealed his love to us by imparting or giving that love to us by his Spirit. Everybody that has his Spirit has his love. Amen? Let's go to Romans 5:5 real quickly. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 5. And it says this. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, everybody say the love of God, has been poured out in our hearts. Say that with me. Has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God is in our hearts. But you might say, well, then, Pastor, how come it's not coming out like I want it to? Because as Paul says, there's a war in me. Everybody say, there's a war in me. For the things you want to do, he says, I can't do. And the things I should do, I won't do. So if I agree with what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it, there's this flesh in me that tries to resist the outpouring of his love on a full measure. So we have to begin to pray and ask God, Father, I know your Spirit has given me this love, but Lord, help to manifest this love in my daily life like you intended. So I'm not afraid anymore. Everybody say, so I won't be afraid. He that the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. So I won't be bound anymore. I won't be tied up anymore. It's the love of God that sets us free. The Bible, we all know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what, Pastor? Anything you want to be saved from. It's up to you. Some people only want to be saved enough to go to heaven. And he gave you enough to be saved to go to heaven. But some people want to go the next mile and be saved from saying bad things was saved from not thinking the wrong way, saved from mistreating people, saved from just not being very kind or friendly to people, saved from all these. God gave you the power, but where do you want to take it? How far do you want to go? That's the question. So when you pray stuff like, God, allow your spirit to manifest your love through me, that's a dangerous prayer. Because he's going to do it. He said, if you ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. And that's according to his will. So that he might have many sons. That's what he's after. So if you ask God, to God, make me a son after your own delight, he's going to do that. But you know what happens when you do that? You're going to have to give up. See, that's what dying to the flesh really means. You just give up things. You stop doing things the way you used to do things. But love doesn't just stop there. How many want more faith in their life? How many say, God, I need faith? Look at Galatians 5. Verse 5. And it says here, and it's going to 5 through 6. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, everybody say faith, working through what? What does it say? Not your love, because your love can't bring faith. It's got to be the love of God. So in order for our faith to increase, and let me show you how love increases faith. We have to ask God to fill us with his love. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And faith, when you are in love, and I'm just going to use a natural example. When you love someone, love is equal to what? Starts with a T. Trust. Love is equal to trust. Am I right? When you love somebody, you fully trust them. So when I love someone, and the only person that I could love like that, well, the only person I do love like that is my wife. When my wife says something to me, I can trust that she's going to do it because of the love that we have for one another. Amen? So when your love is increased by the power of God, you now have a trust in God that exceeds your natural understanding. So you're no longer hoping, wishing, on the dreaming. You know that what he says he's going to do because he loves me. Amen? So that takes your faith to a whole nother level. It knows that I know. And see, this is the thing I was thinking about this. Sometimes we don't even give God enough credit that we would have if we were in his position. The Bible says that if anybody asked for a stone, a fish, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish? Bread, would you give him a stone? Fish, would you give him a serpent? And what does he say after that? But you being what? So everybody say that out loud. You being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more would your Father in heaven what did he say? Evil things. No, he said give good things to those that he asked. See, we don't even have a concept that God wants to do good to us. And that's mind-blowing. We don't think people, and you hear this all the time, people say, I'm not sure God wants to heal me. I know he can, but I'm not sure he wants to, because your love connection is broken. You don't even believe that God loves you more than you love your wife. Because if you had the power to heal your wife, you would do it. Am I right? If you were God and somebody came up to you and you healed them, you wanted them to be healed, and you say, oh, of course I'm going to heal you. But we don't even give God that much credit. He says that he loves us with a love that passes our understanding, and yet and still we're still trying to figure out, does he want to do something good for me? Because we don't give God enough credit for who he says he is. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Because you don't, we don't, and I'm not saying you, because I say you, that's the we you. How's that? I know we're all into pronouns now. But I'm not into that. Our love is not right. Because let me tell you, I struggle with the same questions. But I always come back to God is a good God. And if God is love, the definition of love, why wouldn't he love me enough to heal me? Huh? Why wouldn't he love me enough to provide for me? I provided for my own kids. my son came up to me only a couple of times and said, Dad, what are we going to do about so-and-so? And so I said, look, son, that's not your business. That's my business. You let me worry about providing. You do what you do. That's what a good dad does. Amen. So my kids weren't always, and that's part of the problem that some of these kids are having, is they're thinking like adults when they don't have the capacity to do so. Am I right about it, Pastor? They think they know. Kiki, of all kids, told me she knows everything. Kiki can't even write her name yet, but she knows everything. Kids think about stuff that they have no business thinking, and they don't have the capacity to weigh things like adults do. Amen? Parents, you know what I'm talking about? They don't understand that some things just have to be dealt in a certain way, and they're not supposed to until they grow up. So don't throw too many things on kids, because that's gonna damage them. That's why kids are out trying to make a living, and they're doing it in the wrong way. Some of them are stealing. Some of them are selling drugs. Some of them are doing, because they're trying to do adult things, but they don't have the mental capacity to know what that means. Amen? So they do what they are exposed to. They do what comes first. And that's always a temptation. The enemy also has a means of provision. Just like God. Everything God has, the devil has a duplicate. It's just the wrong way. It's a counterfeit. And when I was a kid, I had a paper route. You guys remember those? They don't really have those anymore. A paper route, for those of you who don't know, because some of you are like, is when I used to deliver papers door to door. I put them on my bike, and we carried it around, and we went throwing papers, and then at the end of the month, we would collect money for the paper. And then we'd give the part of it to the Seattle Times, and we would keep the rest after we paid our bills, so to speak. Now, that money, I didn't say, Dad, I'm making money now, so I'm going to contribute. My dad didn't ask me for that. That was my money. My dad and my mom provided for our family. But when I needed money, I didn't think, I'm going to go rob a store. I'm going to go steal a bike and then go take it to the chop shop. I didn't think like that, because I didn't have adult issues in a kid's body. I thought like a kid. I'm going to get a paper route. We're going to mow lawns in the neighborhood. I mean, I don't even know if they do that anymore. But are you seeing, we have a warped sense of understanding of God because we don't understand the fullness of his love for us. And once you get the understanding of the fullness of his love, healing is no longer an issue. Provision is no longer an issue. People always, well, God is God in the prosperity? I don't see how he can't be when he owns everything. He owns it and doesn't even need it. He said, I own everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That's everything. Amen? And I don't care what you think you own today. When you die, you don't have it anymore. They're going to just be fighting over it after you leave because you don't get any more of it. And it all comes back to him in the end. It's his. So he is prosperous, but he's not into that. He's into taking care of his family, his children. He's into loving his people. But the love of God, as I read in Romans, is shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit. He has imparted into us, given us his love so that we can now believe him, trust him, wait on him, be patient with him, wait until he speaks to us. He gives us all these things so that we can understand what 1 Corinthians 13 really means. Amen? So this is the magnitude, and I'm only touching the surface now because I know I'm already been talking for about 35 minutes, right? We have to understand that this is what God wants. Let me say this and then we'll close. Without the revelation of God's love, and we've touched on it already, we miss the true nature of God. And we run away and hide from him in fear. And I'm going to just summarize this story. Of course, we all know the Ten Commandments story. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. He tells them, God tells them, I'm going to come down and I'm going to talk to them, my people, myself. I'm not going to use you. You're not going to be the enemy. I'm going to talk and I'm going to speak. And God came and he spoke. And the only one that ran to God's voice was who? Moses. Moses was running to get back in God's presence. Everybody else was going this way. Moses was going this way. And he said, hey, come on back. He says, he just wants you to know that he can talk and he's real so that you don't turn from him. And they said, no, we don't want to hear from God. We'll listen to you, Moses. And 12 chapters later, they were building a cow to worship because their nature was afraid of God and they didn't know how to draw near to God as Moses was trying to teach them. That's what happens when you have a bad love connection. Even though God's voice was booming, Moses wasn't afraid because he knew God. He had been in God's presence over and over, over and over, over and over. So he knew that even though God speaks loud, he still loves me. And he wasn't running. He was trying to run to him. And then later on he said, God, I love you. Can I just see you? Can I see, I don't care about anybody else, but can I see you face to face? Please let me. He said, no, you can't. He said, but I'll let you see my back, but you can't see my face. But God loved Moses so much, he didn't want to kill him. So he provided him an avenue so that he could at least get a glimpse of his glory. Because Moses loved connection. Now, Moses didn't do the right thing. I know he stumbled. But he got that part of it. Amen? And when Moses spoke, everything he did worked. Isn't that amazing? Every time Pharaoh said, get these things off me. He said, what day you want it? Tomorrow. All right, tomorrow will be. Get these dark. Get this darkness away. When do you want the darkness to go? Tomorrow. All right, tomorrow. And every time he spoke, it happened. His love connection was working. Everything Moses did worked. And the Bible said he was just a man. Because when he first met God, he did run. When he talked to him out of the bush, he was running and hiding. Not only running and hiding, said, I don't even want to work for you. I don't want this job description of going to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. He didn't have a connection, but once the connection was formed, he understood. Amen? So let me read this last passage. Everybody say, last passage. Wake up. We closing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Through 19, excuse me. And this says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded, everybody say rooted and grounded. What does that mean? Yeah. Rooted and grounded. That means they planted you, then they packed the dirt on you. So now you're rooted and you're grounded. And it says, and grounded in what? Love. Huh. You're rooted and grounded in it. And look at this. And may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What's comprehension mean? Understand. Everybody say, so that you may be able to understand. Come on, say it with me. May be able to understand. What is the width? The length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You will be able to understand these things because he's revealing them to you. Amen? This is, once you get this understanding, then you start doing things that are impossible. Amen? Jesus did the impossible. He walked on water. He told the winds and the waves to stop. He called people that were having rigor mortis set in to come back to life. That's why, was it Mary or Martha said, Lord, by now he stinketh. That means he's decaying. That's another word of saying his body is decaying, Lord. It's too late. He said, didn't I tell you who I was? He stopped the funeral procession in Nain because of the only son of the mother. Didn't have any means of support. And he said, son, get out of that casket. He told Peter, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, it's got a piece of money in its mouth. Now you talk about a word of knowledge. Catch that fish, Peter. Take the money and pay both your taxes and mine. That's what happens when the love connection works. Amen? And it only can work if we call out and ask for him to make it work in us. We can't make it work ourselves. It's got to be him. He's got to reveal it to us. He's got to manifest it out of us. It's the Bible says, for it is God who wills and does in us for his good pleasure. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the word of God.